This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Yep. It's a Friday here in the Loop right here on Sports Radio 610. And you know what? Sound like a funky Friday too, don't it?
Yeah.
Hey, you love to see it. It's a good day, man. Hunter Brown gets on the mound to start for the Astros. They welcome in the Reds, and it'll be the first of a 17-game in 17-day stretch. It's going to be an interesting one, so that's a great thing to watch. The Texans right now out there at rookie minicamp, and Ocho made a great point on the text line talking about the fact that it is pleasant, downright pleasant outside.
It is.
And they
don't
are
get
getting
used to it,
they
fellas.
Are getting a false impression of what it's going to be like playing here in Houston.
Don't get used to it, fellas.
At least having the offseason in here in Houston. Because after tomorrow, right, with the end of rookie minicamp, it's 2 days. The next, technical day that they'll be, obliged to be here would be offseason workouts, OTAs, which is May 28th.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine that a lot of these guys are going to be here to some degree because it seems like the Texans have built that environment where people remain.
Yeah.
But May 28th, and there's a little bit of a cold front in this next like week or so.
Mm-hmm.
I'm no meteorologist, so don't take this for gospel. However, I imagine it'll be warm then.
94 degrees, 78% humidity, somewhere in there.
I wish the Texans social media people can just kind of go out there right now and be like, hey, how you feel about the Texans weather
what do you think
right
about
now?
Houston weather? Oh, it's great.
Yeah, you probably got some dudes like, oh, no, this is cool. I can handle this. Oh,
that'd be a fun before and after.
Chat back in June.
Yeah.
That'd be great. If somebody from the social media team is listening, please, we would appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Free of charge, by the way.
Yeah. Doug. Come on, Brandon. Over there in the social media, the marketing part, man. Let's get something going.
Also, we were talking about the Pope and what's popping, and we were asking what would be the funniest fan base, and our boss came in and was like, hey, wouldn't it be hilarious if he was a New Jersey Devils fan, a Tampa Bay Rays fan, and a Duke Blue Devils fan, maybe even an Arizona State fan?
Yeah. Let's go,
like,
Devils.
I was like, yeah, that would be
come
funny.
On.
He should have came out to Chief Keef, one of the Chief Keef songs, rapper from Chicago.
He is a rapper.
Finito.
Sosa. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That space. All right. Let's be serious, guys. Serious. Okay. We are 5 days away, by my count on the calendar, from official schedule release time. I know that for some people, that is a real big, real fun time. You start looking at what's coming down the pike, what ultimately you can plan for. Some people start putting that money down on hotels and flights and such.
Yeah.
And one of the things heading into that is leaks.
We have leaks.
You're starting to get leaks.
Yeah.
And so, you know, what are we seeing, Lopez, Mr. Schedule Man himself, that you were interested in?
It's just so funny how much I enjoy schedule leaks and then the schedule release. I mean, you can just do so much. You can have a lot of fun with it. You find out, you kind of break down the schedule, and we will.
It's like putting together a puzzle.
It is. And this game is going to be, or this stretch, or however you play it.
When the last time you did a puzzle?
It hadn't been a year.
Do people still mess around with puzzles?
Well, okay, so when we go down to the coast for long stretches, my wife likes to do them.
Are you not a puzzle guy?
I'll put in like two or three pieces, then I get bored. You know, but she'll sit there and do the, like,
what's up with your attention span, dog?
It's not there.
but you fish, though.
I'll fish for 7 hours.
That's why fishing is not, fishing ain't no short attention span activity.
When puzzles is born.
Don't compare.
They're not.
Don't compare fishing and
all right,
puzzles.
713-572-4610. Are puzzles boring?
No. I mean, yes.
his actual answer deep down inside leapt out right quick.
I thought you were saying fishing. All right, so
puzzle haters.
I'm a big fan of the schedule leaks. I have, and we've talked about it the last couple of years. There's a couple of really credible and reliable, as much as you can be, you know, schedule leak accounts out there that sort of get everything and put it in one place. So here's where we are, and as you mentioned, it's going to be Wednesday. Are you guys ready for either the Steelers? I'm going to give you the lead right away. I'm not going to bury the lead.
Thank you.
I think either the Steelers or the Texans are going to play in Brazil to open the season. And there's a lot of things pointing to that.
Yeah, please, because I'm interested in hearing why those two teams, and you already know that I very much prefer them to not play in Brazil if there's an option to play a division game overseas.
Okay, and that's funny you say that because I'm going to circle back to that. I'm starting to warm up to the idea of Brazil as the opener.
Okay.
Not that I want it, but I'm warming up to it.
Because you want to go to Brazil then?
No, I'll get to that. I'll tell you exactly why I think it might be a good thing.
You want to see the sights and the vistas?
Hall pass?
No. Calm down.
See some of them BBLs.
Look, you, with the things that you put your wife through, you better not ask for no kinds of passes. You better not pass go when playing Monopoly.
This is true. All right, so the leaks that we have so far are going to tie in with this. And just, it's good information because most of these tend to be pretty reliable. The leaks that we have so far for the overseas, the international games, are Commanders at Dolphins in Madrid, November 16th.
So you like that game?
It's not bad.
I think I like that game.
It's not bad.
Commanders, Dolphins.
Shout out to Germany actually getting, well, you said Berlin, right?
Madrid,
sorry. Shout out to Spain actually getting a good, yeah. Because sometimes I feel bad. It feels like we export our worst games overseas at times.
Jaden Daniels, all that good stuff.
Yes, sir.
Colts at Falcons as of today has been leaked by a couple of people. Now, again, leaked. Not official, but I think some of the people here are pretty credible. Colts at Falcons in Berlin.
Okay.
And that would be week 10. Okay. Vikings at Browns, October 5th, is another one that's been leaked. Broncos at Jets, October 11th. Rams at Chargers, October 19th. All three of those are in London. Two at Tottenham Hotspur.
Wow. So you're having an LA matchup, but not in LA.
Mm-hmm.
That's wild because that feels like the one.
No, did I say Chargers?
You said Rams at Chargers.
No,
right?
No. It's not Chargers. Rams, because the Chargers are the Brazil game. It's the Rams will be going out there. I'll get you the exact.
No problem. We could skip over that. I was just fascinated because, yeah, with that mistake, that puts both LA teams on overseas in a way that I was like, that feels like one of those games you would want to have in that building to make sure that it is packed to the gills.
No. That one is not the case. I misspoke on that, and I'll get to that in just a second. So it's going to be the Rams at Jacksonville.
Oh, okay.
Rams at Jacksonville, because Jacksonville plays in London. I wrote down the wrong thing.
No problem.
All right, so that narrows it down a little bit. And let me explain that. The fact that these leaks have come out kind of narrows it down in terms of the Texans are going to have a bigger possibility of playing in Brazil.
Because the two division games that you were looking at that are, you know, because again, to make this more clear, we know who the host teams are going to be in all of these various international
games. Jacksonville's going to host.
Right, Jacksonville's going to host one in London. Mm-hmm. And then the Colts were hosting. Where are they hosting again?
Colts at Falcons in Berlin.
Berlin, correct. Okay.
Vikings at Browns, as I said. So
those are
the ones that have been leaked as of today.
Those are the two, because we always know who the teams are that these teams are going to play. But not even just in general when you're building a schedule. Before the schedule actually comes out, you know who the teams are. Because the way that the NFL schedule is built, it's formulaic.
Right.
You play six games against your division mates, and then you play some other games against
another. And we have the list of teams.
Right. You know exactly which divisions you're playing in a given year. And then there's a couple more, or there's one addition, or sorry, two additional, is it two? Additional games. Yes, two additional games that are based off of your positioning in your conference or in your division, right? You can surmise all of that very simply.
Yeah.
So you know which teams are in the pool to play those guys. And once you see, who's hosting, then you know, okay, there's only three teams that the Texans have on their schedule that are hosting.
Right.
And now the leaks are saying that two of those are going to be a different game.
Right. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because the only teams the Chargers could face in Brazil are the Raiders, which is a division game and more unlikely.
Yeah, they try not to have those internationally.
Broncos, which the leak just said is going to be playing the Jets, so it won't be the Broncos.
Yeah, because it's unlikely for them to have multiple international games.
Chiefs, Commanders, which if the leak is correct, it isn't going to be the Commanders because they're going to Madrid. Texans, Vikings. It's not going to be the Vikings if this leak is correct because they're at the Browns.
Yeah.
And Steelers. So it's as much as it's not a hard and fast rule, we're getting it kind of narrowed down to the Steelers and Texans, and let me explain why. It's not a hard and fast rule, but they generally don't play a division game in these international games. They have, but they generally don't. So you can certainly scratch the Broncos because they're going overseas elsewhere. Raiders and Chiefs are in play, but are they going to play a division game? More than likely not. Broncos played overseas in 2022. Chiefs played overseas in 2023. Commanders are already going to face the Dolphins in Madrid, so you can likely scratch them. Scratch the Vikings, and if the leak is true that they'll play the Browns in London, is true that anyway. So that leaves the Colts. They just have been announced.
They're hosting one.
In Berlin. That leaves the Colts, Steelers, and Texans. So it kind of just leaves the Steelers and Texans
as
the most likely teams to play in Brazil. And by the way, the Texans have not played overseas since 2019. This is where it gets a little interesting. The Steelers have not played overseas since 2013.
Okay, so Steelers are going then.
Could be the Steelers, could be the Texans.
Would you prefer an overseas game or not having an overseas game this year?
Well, I'd always prefer not having an overseas game, but you do have to play one every 8 years at minimum as of a couple of years ago. So this is where I was going to circle back to. I'm kind of warming up to the Texans opening in Brazil, as much as an inconvenience as that will be, because for a couple of reasons. Number one, you're going to have plenty of lead up. Go ahead.
Somebody, Andy, our guy, Engineer Andy, letting us know on the YouTube page, and a text line also coming in. Steelers are in Dublin, supposedly.
Oh, that's right.
Last year?
They're in Dublin this year?
I believe so.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And so if that's the case, then...
Ooh, then it's the Texans.
You're really opening up to the possibility to open up. And I'm interested in that because, especially opening up the season there's a lot of questions about this team for week one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of week one questions, which is, how has this offensive line come together? Have they gelled over training camp? How are your rookies going to, ingratiate themselves? And especially, I imagine, Jaden Higgins, who is probably the most likely of your rookies to be a major factor in all of this. How has Nick Haley come along, and how is that? And not to say that those would not be questions in week one generally, but you just add the additional element of travel and a lack of familiarity with the place. And then what you also talked about, which circles back around to the offensive line as well, what is the turf quality like?
Sure.
And when you think about it, I think I was watching a reel at one point or so, a video about Mason Graham, the new Browns defensive tackle, and him getting his equipment. These guys are going to have probably some pretty specialized or really the equipment staff is going to have to be on their P's and Q's for the offensive line with all the traction that you need to generate an entirely new offensive line with all of the mental sides of it, but also the physical sides of it. If that turf, there's a lot of things that could make this more difficult against a team in the Chargers that isn't a bad one.
There are a lot of reasons, and you just outlined some, why I don't really want it, but if it's going to happen, I don't mind it being the Chargers, and I don't mind it being in Brazil for a couple of reasons. Number one, you have an entire lead up that you can prepare for that, and all the things that are possible out there, and all the preparation and all that. You get there early, and you're not coming off a game, so you have plenty of time to prepare. And the second reason is it's a Friday night game. It's a Friday game in Brazil, so that gives you a little extra time coming back and playing, presumably a home game, to open coming off of that. So if you're to believe the leaks, Commanders, they're out. Colts, they're out. The Broncos, they're out. I'm talking in terms of who the teams that the Chargers could play.
Sure.
You just mentioned Steelers. I'd forgotten about that. They would be out. Just go down the list. Then unless they play the Raiders, unless they play a division game to open the season in Brazil, it's looking very likely that it's going to be the Texans.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I guess if I'm trying to find my level of happiness with this, it would be, well, you get an international game, you could tick that off the ledger, and according to that rule that you're kind of stating the NFL is, I guess, de facto putting in place, that would kind of inoculate you from having a home game on the road, which I know I'm sure the team would very much not want. And I imagine Houstonians would not want. Don't take one of my 8 or 9 that I have here and put it elsewhere around the world. We want to have that at NRG with the home fans being able to tailgate and all those things. And I feel like that buys you more time if you're playing an international game that you don't have to host.
It's it really, again, I generally, hey, do you want them to play? No. But it's looking like it could be the Texans more and more every day.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll watch that space, and we will get a good answer as to whether or not the leaks are right and if the Texans might be starting their season saluting Christ the Redeemer statue and spending a little time in Brazil. It's Sao Paulo, though, ain't it?
Sao Paulo.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to say. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. And yes, you're right, 8-3-2. It would also be a playoff rematch, 100%. Although obviously, you know, from the playoffs to the next season, a lot of difference in all of that, that's happening there. All right. Coming up next, we'll do what we always do at this time. We'll bring you our Lunchtime Confessions presented by the Men's Clinic next.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
On my podcast, Aspire with Emma Greed, we share the keys to succeed in business and in life. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so this has been making the rounds here, as you guys I know have seen. Draymond Green, another little flailing elbow that he had no control over, apparently.
Oh, he backhanded the mess out of Naz Reid.
If you look at it, and we all have, you know, multiple times, it's like he's like trying to pass, and all of a sudden just goes whack, just throws his arm out. And who was it he hit?
Naz Reid.
Naz Reid. So this is my confession. Not once today, yesterday, ever have I thought Draymond Green is being portrayed as he portrayed himself when he's trying to victimize himself as an angry black man. Not once. He's just a player who pushes the limits and often plays dirty. It's a cop-out. It's a poor excuse.
You look like the angry black man. I'm not an angry black man. I'm a very successful, educated black man with a great family. And I'm great at basketball. I'm great at what I do. The agenda to try to keep making me look like an angry black man is crazy. I'm sick of it. It's ridiculous.
What agenda? When has anybody... I mean, maybe there's some small pockets of people that have called him that. Have you ever thought of him as that?
I felt like he kind of used it in the wrong way.
Yes, because it's a cop-out.
No, usually when people say the angry black man, it's more like being in an interview setting, or you might come across as angry, like the tone of your voice or something like that. He never really came across like that. I never heard nobody say angry black man while playing a sport.
Yeah, and I mean, like, whatever he's trying to portray there, right? I don't even think anybody has ever viewed him as angry per se. Like, I don't think
just
that anybody.
Dirty.
I never seen like an interview or a post game something where he come across like angry.
Is this what he's doing now?
This is a level of delusion that I'm very uncomfortable with, because like, it's one thing, and I'm very sympathetic, right, to like the ways in which narratives can form. Like
sure.
we saw that here locally with Aziz Alshaair when it came to the Trevor Lawrence hit. Like there were narratives that were forming around that you had to go, hey, let's be careful with the way that we talk about this.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody looking at you and saying like you're doing that because you're angry. I don't think anybody pathologized him in that way.
Yeah.
No. Everybody's looking at you like you're shameless.
You're dirty.
Like you need you need to control yourself. And I guess maybe that is where you can get to the place where you can think possibly angry black. But no, that is just comport yourself with the level of respect for the game and for opponents. Like you are out here acting a damn fool, right? This isn't some level of like a pathology, angry black man. This is, you are much better. And all the things he talked about being educated, about being very good at the sport of basketball, being very intelligent. I think the people that have the highest criticisms all willingly acknowledge those things.
Yes.
And those are the reasons why people are like, yo, you are above behaving in the way that you do.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm not even mad at Draymond no more. I'm mad at the league, and I'm mad at Steve Kerr because it has gotten to a point where it's very clear that he's comfortable behaving like this. And at some point, there should have been something in the power structure that says, no, this is not okay. And the NBA has seemed complicit in allowing this to happen by like calling, like that foul that you talked about that led to this, that was called a technical.
Yeah.
That was a live ball foul that was called a technical. We've seen live ball fouls like that called a flagrant.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we've seen dead ball fouls called a flagrant or called a technical. And what is the reason why they've been called that? Whatever's convenient to help Draymond Green stay in these games.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't need to bend over backwards to help him continue to be this petulant child.
I get your point, and I haven't been angry at Draymond until this, because that's cheap. That's a low, you know, common denominator or excuse. It's a cop out. No, nobody here has called you that or thought that. You're just a dirty player.
Yeah, I never. What's wild is like off the court, I feel like he's a cool dude. Like,
yes.
If you listen to him talk, listen to his podcast, he's actually a cool dude. Like I think
sometimes me out here acting. Sometimes he's saying crazy.
Yeah, but like his reflection on the court.
Yeah.
It seemed like it's kind of opposite in the media. Like I could see him being in the media for a long time.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny? It's like, I even understand the idea of being physical and maybe pushing the boundaries. We saw that with the Rockets team. We encouraged them in this series to like be physical, be aggressive, push the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
What's funny is I think he could even still do that without half the stuff that he does. Like you can lean on people, you can kind of play within. That's all gamesmanship.
Yeah.
What he does is beyond that. Like kick at people, slap at people. Like it's disrespectful.
Don't go
is the
there,
part
man.
That he goes
just
to.
Just don't go there.
And I feel like it's also disrespectful to then come around and pretend like it is something else than it is. That's the part.
He got highlights full of dirty moves, man.
Yes, he does.
That's a shame itself, man.
Yeah.
I'm glad that I get to do the basketball thing that is not that, because I got a little heated there. I'm not going to lie. however, I think my confession is I have to walk back something that I have been pretty loud about, which is I don't like player comps. Because first and foremost, I can often rationalize the idea that I don't like player comps, but if they are done very carefully and in certain circumstances, I find them to be okay. However, this one came in from your guy, Nick Wright, on FS1. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about this whole subset of player comps that make me laugh that I really enjoy. And it is that this player is this player of that player. And he utilized that in talking about Jason Tatum.
Jason Tatum is the Kobe Bryant of Paul George's. Let it. Oh, they put a bar.
I gotta
up.
Think about
Jason
that.
Jason Tatum is the Kobe. He's the best.
The best Paul.
The
George?
Best Paul George I've seen. I know you hate it, but he wants to be Kobe. He's
a better than Paul.
That's
George.
Why I said. That's why he's
okay, Kobe,
so Bryant.
The Kobe Bryant.
He's the Kobe Bryant. He's the Kobe Bryant of Paul George's, and up to and including. I don't really trust you.
LeBron.
I am dunking on LeBron, and I don't trust you with the game on the line. Sorry, Gatorade commercial or not.
And damn it if I don't think that he nailed that on the head. I was like, hey, man, player comps. It's not fair. Yeah. And then he got that one out there, and I was like, damn, that is perfect.
That
is perfect. I often try and defend Jason Tatum, but also people getting out here that at any point that we're talking about him as possibly being the best player in the league. Oh, no. It's why he keeps sitting here at like fourth or fifth on these MVP voting. Like he is very good. But yes, there are issues here. And Nick, I think that has shown up in the first couple of games of that series.
I think he nailed that one for sure.
I got to confess, man, I think I played too much, especially with my wife. We joke around.
What'd you do now?
We joke around a lot, especially at dinner, if we go out to eat and all that stuff. And we went out to eat yesterday, and whenever the waiter, you know, come to the table with the check.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes the waiter be like, are you together, separate?
Yeah.
Try to see what's going on. And the first thing she said was, I don't know this man. So we kind of laughed about it a little bit. We do that all the time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, no, I don't know her. Like, but we was clearly joking.
Right.
And then right after, I said this. I was like, all right. He came back with the check again and all that stuff. I was like, all right, you want me to drop you off on Bissonnette?
Wow.
You want me to drop you back off on Bissonnette?
Your queen?
Her mouth hit the ground.
That is crazy.
I was all out.
The whole restaurant heard that.
And here's the tough part about it, right?
Yeah.
We not nothing like all too special. I don't want to pretend like, you know, high and mighty or whatever, or like I have a huge impression of what we do here. Like, obviously, we do a job, and it's cool that we have people that enjoy it and rock with us on your days listening. However, Figgy, you were just talking earlier today about how you dapped up Calvin Murphy, and it seemed like he knew you and you did not anticipate that.
Yeah.
Hey, there's people in that restaurant that heard that and they were like, I know who that is.
That man's got a wife.
Wait, what is happening right now?
That man's got a wife.
Fig was out here on Bissonnette? Like, you can't be playing in public like that no more.
I know.
People know you.
Yeah, nah, we do that all the time. Even back in the day, whenever she'd be in the store and she getting groceries or something like that, and I used to play that game like, oh, you stealing? And she'd be like, shut up.
You're stealing?
Yeah. We do stuff all like that all the time. Sometimes whenever she picked me up from somewhere, if I ain't drive, she'd be like, hey, how you doing? I'm your Uber driver. we just play too much, man. I think we got to chill out, man.
I still stopped here even though you have a 2 rating.
Or sometimes I joke around and try to get in the back seat. She's like, boy, get in the front seat.
Yeah. You know, Figgy mentioned this yesterday about Stephen A. Smith was gonna be on CSI.
Law and Order.
I mean,
man.
Law and Order.
Hey, man,
I mean,
don't be disrespectful.
CSI not in the game no more.
I mean, Law and Order.
Are they still in the game?
I don't even know if they're doing like some, all the.
There's various ones.
Are the offshoots still? I don't even know if the offshoots are still going.
I don't know if they're original. No,
the original definitely not still going.
Yeah.
I don't think, because that was Las Vegas, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. CSI Miami came
through. They got Miami.
I don't think that's still going.
They had New Orleans, didn't they?
They had New Orleans.
Yeah.
I don't know. New York was going at one point.
I also get CSI and Criminal Minds mixed up a lot.
Yeah, well, I got it mixed up with Law & Order. Anyway, my confession is, you know how I know Stephen A. is actually really good at
He's
at what he's doing? When, spoiler alert, cover your ears if you haven't seen the Law and Order episode.
John Lopez.
Even if he spoils it, I advise you to watch at least the clip.
Look for the clip.
I got sad when they capped his ass. I got sad. I was like, oh, no, they got Stephen A.
No, sir, they got Ted. What's his name? I forgot his last name.
Ted Hunter.
Well, here's a piece of it.
Jackson, come on in. We need to talk.
What's up, man?
You make $8 million a year, man, and you broke.
Hey, get out of here.
You can believe me today, or you can believe the bank when they come and take the keys to your house. You got to make changes, bro. And oh, by the way, I'm keeping my 5%. You ain't getting that back.
What's the problem?
You really just asked me that. Turn around. What does Jimmy do? How about Tommy? How about Marco?
I don't know, man. They just part of it.
How many people do you think you have on your payroll?
But 6.
11. But it's time to be real. You ain't LeBron. You ain't KD. You damn sure ain't Ant-Man. You a grinder rotation player. You damn sure ain't large enough to be having some entourage. You got a big damn heart. But you just turned 30. If you're lucky, you got 3, maybe 4 years left.
He was cooking.
He was so good.
The thing I was telling Figgy, and I think this might come back up a little later, is, if anything, he overreacted by just a smidge.
But that's what he does in real life.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I was like, if anything, he overreacted. But it was not that far off.
Yeah. You want to hear the overreaction to this? Because it's another part two to this.
Okay.
So you're saying you want me to fire some of my boys?
Here you go.
Come on, Ted. No, that ain't cool.
Here you go.
What are you about cool? I don't care about cool. I care about you. I care about your family, your kids, your future. That's what I'm thinking about. So guess what? Your agent ain't asking you to get rid of some of your boys. I'm asking you to get rid of all of them.
Yeah.
Every little one.
All of them. That's not so easy. I grew up with them. When all of this was just a fantasy, I owe them. I owe them.
You want me to do it for you?
That's good.
He's good.
He's never going to be like an A-lister. If you tell me that Stephen A ends up being like a C-list actor, I can 100% see
for
it.
Sure.
Like I'd be there.
And by the way, he had that same suit from First Take on, by the way. He still had a little suit on, man.
Yeah.
He did not have a suit on when he got killed.
No, he
had a sweater.
And still had the AirPods in, too.
Yeah.
He was going for a run, and he had the AirPods in.
I don't even watch Law & Order, but I might go peep that one. But anyways, that's a little bit of a Lunchtime Confessions brought to you by the Men's Clinic. And yes, Cam, I 100% thought the same thing. He brought out that Denzel. He did. Like you could tell he was trying to tap into it. And with more, I guess, like serious roles outside of like the soap space, I'm excited to see what it looks like.
Yeah, man.
You got to keep going with it, man.
I need it.
You got to keep going.
I do need it. He might get me back into procedurals just if he keeps doing it. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Somebody said, who's better, Stephen A or Jerry Jones? Oh, that's a great question.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great question. Because Jerry killed Landman.
That was good.
He killed that. But the only thing about it is he basically cried, too. He was acting as himself.
Yeah.
And acting as yourself is a little bit, it's not easy though.
But he did cry.
But he did that really well. Stephen A was kind of himself, but not. I don't know. I'm going to have to take the break to think about it. Let's see if we could ask our friend, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo coming off of a victory in the Open Cup. We'll talk to Ben Olsen next. That's right. You are in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Friday to you. It's been a fun one thus far, and it's even more fun whenever we get the opportunity to chat with our guy, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. His name is Ben Olsen. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Hi, John. How you, Reggie? How you guys doing?
Man, we are doing great. So excited to talk to you because last time we talked to you, it was not the same spirits, I don't think, as it's been lately. You guys have been doing some great things. Obviously got some signings in, beat Austin FC, which is something that you always love to see, and got a victory in the Open Cup. And I want to talk about all of that, but first I have to ask you something very important, a much more important question. Seeing as Mother's Day is this Sunday, what was the time that you recall that you annoyed or disappointed your mother the most?
Oh, I put her through it. I got to be honest with you.
We all do.
I was a pretty good kid overall, though. But every now and then, I'd do something where she would chase me, and she wanted to get a hold of me. She'd try to slap me, but I was just too quick at an early age. I was too quick. And we had a big table, and I'd just stay on the opposite side of the table, and she could never get me.
I'd just go
to the other side of the table, and I was quick early. I avoided it. That really infuriated her. She would give up, and she'd catch me later, though. She'd eventually catch me.
Oh yeah, it always comes back. Like you're never getting away forever. But I mean, look, that's why you were a pacey midfielder, right? Like obviously, that was the start of it all, right?
That's right.
Sorry, you were saying?
No, that's when she pushed me into sports. Yeah, pretty quick.
Soccer
field.
I was just going to ask you, would you kick around the soccer ball in the house? That had to have been
I broke a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I broke a lot of stuff.
That's and she had a lot of collectibles. They were into antiques, and I used to break stuff all the time. Windows, backyard, neighbors' windows. That's a good one, too. I used to break a neighbor's window. Ours, they were fine with, but when the neighbors came over and like, look, he broke another one. That cost money.
Hey, but getting back to the Dynamo here, you know, we've had you on from the very start, before the very start. And you were very adamant, hey, this isn't the squad. This isn't the squad we're going to have. You know, we're going to be looking. We're going to be adding. We're going to be tweaking. How is that coming along? Because you've done some of that. How do you feel like the squad is setting up right now?
Well, as you know, last time we chatted, we weren't in a great way. I mean, it was a real work in progress, and we still are to a certain extent. But we've leveled off here, and I think we understand a little more who we are. We've also got some players in that we think complement our group right now and make us better. This whole second part of the season or before summer is really about incorporating these guys. And that's a hard thing to do. right? Because everybody already went through preseason. We know who we are. So now you have five, six, seven guys that you're trying to put into, you know, and figure out how we click. It's a little bit of a dance. It's a little bit tricky, but it's nice to have these options. It's nice to have the depth right now. We've got a lot of games coming in May. Every 3 days we're playing. So it is a good time. Because you're almost forced to utilize 20, 22 guys. So at the end of this month, we're going to know exactly who we are, and hopefully we can creep up in the standings. You know, the wins have been a little bit hard to come by this year, but over the last month, I think we've leveled off and started gaining some points.
Yeah, and you're only 5 points off of Dallas there, sitting in that final kind of playoff spot as of right now. Speaking of like kind of Texas teams, you've recently got a victory over Austin FC, and lo and behold, there you go. They're your next opponent in the Open Cup. Like, how insightful is that? Recently, just playing against that team and then getting them again here soon.
Yeah, it's good, but they also just saw us, right? So we all go back to the drawing board and we dissect that film and try to go after their weaknesses and try to identify their strengths and fix some stuff. But yeah, our league's interesting because you're always kind of two or three wins away from a playoff spot. And that makes it, you know, you can have stretches where it's not so good and still get into the postseason. But we got to start soon. We got to start really racking up some wins before the summer to put us in a good place down the stretch.
I have a sense just watching the squad and you know, how, you know, the rotations and the rosters and the lineups, et cetera. You're doing, you know, they call soccer coaches in this case, but they call them managers for a reason. Are you managing more personalities as much as anything this year, simply because it is such a transition type year?
I am now. You're managing maybe more emotions when things aren't going well, right? Yeah. You're managing more of a group, and you know, kind of making sure you know, is it carrot or stick? You're taking that temperature every day of what this group needs to kind of keep pushing forward. Now with the players coming in and the depth increasing, that's when sometimes it's more about individual management, because the reality is, you know, some guys have to sit and they're used to playing and there's competition. But that's very, very healthy for a manager. Mm-hmm. It's a little taxing, but it's what I do. And I always say that the last thing I want as a manager is an easy team to manage. Mm-hmm. And because I want competitive guys. I want guys that want to be on the field and are upset if they're not in there. And I want good options. I want enough players to have options going forward. So it's been good. It's good to have the bodies, but the trick is to incorporate these guys and get results while we're doing that.
So we were talking. We're talking to Ben Olsen, the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. They've got a home match tomorrow evening at Shell Energy Stadium versus the Seattle Sounders, another one of those teams that's not far off there in the West. But we've seen, you've talked about a little bit of the acquisitions that you've had in the transfer market as the window has closed, and Andre has been fantastic. But there's still some other guys that you guys acquired that we haven't seen yet. Like, who should Dynamo and Houston fans be maybe excited to see once they're able to take the pitch here relatively soon?
Well, we just got a center back, and he played his first minutes, Pablo Ortiz from Colombia. He's been in Europe playing, and this is his first stint in the MLS. We like his qualities, you know, his physical traits and technical, his technical abilities. Again, something we're looking forward to seeing too. But again, it takes time. Center backs, it takes a little bit more time. It's defensive, understanding the game model and relationships. Andre so far has been great. I mean, I'm glad you mentioned Linger. He's been a piece that we've needed, someone that's you know, really good in the box, can score, can provide, and he's also got a nice little screw loose about him, which I like. He's a competitive guy, and I think we need some personality in here. Dwayne Holmes is another guy that we haven't seen yet, who's been injured since we got him. He's coming back in the next week or two. We're still waiting on Quinones and Lawrence Anali, who both have real pace that we need some juice up top and on the wing. A new forward named Tayasi, who is going to help out up top and score goals. So it's a lot. It's a lot. Yeah. This is a very rare time to have this many new faces coming into a team. So it's been an interesting challenge for the staff to kind of incorporate them, but one we're looking forward to.
And one of the things, you know, as we're leading up to Saturday's match at Shell Energy Stadium, it's actually the Dynamo are going to host the Season 20 celebration. Alumni are going to be back. And the first thing that I'm thinking of when I saw that is, it's been 20 years? I mean, it's been 20 years already of the Dynamo. It doesn't seem like that long. But the question has to do with the 20 years of the Dynamo and obviously MLS, et cetera. This thing wasn't given much of a life, and it's thriving. And where do you feel like it's going now?
I've been so lucky because I was here the second year it started back in 1998. So to kind of have this front row seat to the league's development has been amazing. And there's been all these moments where it's taken another step up, and even the last couple years as the money comes and the stadiums come and the owners are, throwing more and more at this, the Messi deal, the Apple deal. So there's all these moments that really push us to another level here and then also globally. You mentioned the 20 years with the Dynamo. I get a lot of love and respect for those teams. They used to kick my butt, frankly. Mm-hmm. We'd come here from D.C. and we'd leave battered physically, mentally. They were just, some of the best teams this league's ever seen. So Pat Onstad, who's our general manager, played for some of those teams. He does a wonderful job of celebrating the past of the Dynamo. And it'll be a special weekend for those guys, and they keep tabs. And it's a big part of the culture here. So looking forward to seeing some of those guys, and hopefully we can reward them with, an entertaining game and 3 points.
Now, Ben, you mentioned when you were talking about Andre Linger, you mentioned that he's got a little bit of a screw loose, and that immediately made me think of, because we've been watching the NBA playoffs, and of course, I'm not trying to say that Andre Linger is anything like Draymond Green, but I've been lamenting Steve Kerr.
Or maybe not.
Okay, well, I'll let you answer that, but Steve Kerr, I've been lamenting his management style for him. How do you go about managing a player that has that kind of fire, but then you keeping them in a place where they can direct that into the space that you want them to?
Yeah, that's a great question. I love Steve Kerr. I've watched him. I've studied him. I really, in some ways from afar, I resonate with him. And his ability to manage Draymond, it's so difficult because you can't overmanage him. He is going to still be that guy. And you also rely on that, right? You rely on his fire. And I've got a guy here in some ways in Franco Escobar who I rely on his personality and fire. And it's an important part because when the lights come on, those are the guys you want to go to battle with. But man, can it spill over. And managing those players and trying to keep them in their sweet spot of just on that edge is hard. It's a really, really difficult thing. And, Draymond's on the edge at all times. You watch him play. I watched him a little bit last night, and I think he's got he has so many technicals at this point. He gets two more, he may be suspended for a game. But I think he knows him really well. They got some history. I saw a great thing where he was sitting with Draymond on the bench. I think it hit kind of Twitter and all this stuff where he was explaining, or just calmly with love. With Draymond, I'm sure he's figured it out, but it's not easy. But you need those guys, man. You need those guys if you want to hold trophies.
Well, we always appreciate talking to you. We wish you. We hope you get a win versus Seattle tomorrow. And I will say, I saw when you signed Jonathan Bond, and I was like, damn, that might have taken away my opportunity to come out and train with you to maybe be a goalkeeper, man. I was like,
we always got space for it. Yeah. We always got space for somebody to sit in there and just smash balls against.
Yeah, I guess I don't love that description, but you know what? We'll still find the time. We'll make the time to make it happen. Ben, we appreciate you so much. Go get them tomorrow.
All right, gentlemen. Thanks.
All right. There it is. Ben Olsen, man. I always want to call him the manager. Head coach.
I know.
Of the Houston Dynamo. They'll be back in action tomorrow at Shell Energy Stadium. 7:30 is when the kicks off at Shell Energy Center.
Yeah.
Over there at Edo. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Let's circle back around to the Texans because NFL.com ranked the NFL's top 15 quarterbacks on rookie contracts. And that would then put C.J. Stroud and Jaden Daniels in kind of conflict. Is C.J. Stroud versus Jaden Daniels the next quarterback rivalry? And what is it going to take for C.J. Stroud to make sure that he's over top of him in this next season? Let's talk about it next.